Hi. Thanks for coming. So we just got back from a long tour of Russia, like Monday night, around midnight. Then we went straight to Diamond Mountain, and I saw all the kids there. They're very happy. I think they're happier than I've ever seen them, like twice as happy. So I don't know what happened, but I'm glad. And then we spent a couple of days there. And so I'm kind of exhausted, but we're going to do it anyway. So please excuse me if I'm a little bit like forgetful. Also tonight we're going to try, we're going to start trying a different kind of filming, especially for friends in other countries who can't get through American border troubles. We're going to move the next retreat. So every time we do a 10-day course in Phoenix, we follow it up with a 10-day retreat. And those have been in Prescott, Arizona. But we have so many groups now. I think we have groups in 23 countries. 5,000 people came to the talks in Asia. And 32,000 people in the Russian banking system are now DCI students. That's a challenge. So many of them want to come to the retreats, but they can't get through American border idiocy. So we're gonna do the January 10-day retreat in Guadalajara rather than Prescott. I think 30 people are coming from communist China, 15 or 20 from Russia. There's a large group from Bulgaria, Argentina. And I think it'll be a lot easier for them to get there. It's a little bit more travel for you guys, but I think it's important to accommodate friends from other countries who can't get into the United States. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be fun, and it'll be an interesting translation challenge. I think we have those earphones, and we have different translators coming from different countries. So this is, I think, a 12 or 14 year program to go through a text called Namdo Lakchan. Do you have that first image, Jigme? It's a scripture, I think. It's the first one in the list. It's the very first one in the list. It says page of Gift Tibetan, O1A. Yeah. So that's the text that we'll be studying. It's about 1,000 pages long. It's enlightenment from A to Z. My teacher taught it to me for about 25 or 30 years. He went through it 3 times. The author is, are you okay? Is O1B? Jigme, is it not in order? Click on name at the top. Click on name. Anyway, it's okay. Yeah. This is the author of the text, Pabongka Rinpoche. He lived 1878 to 1941. He was the teacher of the teacher of the current Dalai Lama. So he was Tujan Rinpoche's teacher. He gave these teachings in, I believe it was 1921, in Lhasa. He met my teacher when my teacher was quite young. I think he was about 17 or 18. And he was giving talks at Sera Monastery in Lhasa. My teacher at the time was Kunyer, or Nyerpa. Nyerpa means he had to get the food to the event. and that was his job. So it's kind of a thankless job, as those of you who are doing it know. And so my teacher's job for that event was to make sure that, I don't know, like 3,000 monks got fed every day. And he was a goofball up until that day. And then he met Pabongka Rinpoche in the kitchen. And Pabongka Rinpoche grabbed him and said, "This one is special." And he touched his head to his head. And then something happened to him. And he became a high Geshe. They had a competition of 10,000 monks in Lhasa, culminating in a competition in front of the young Dalai Lama in the Potala Palace, and my teacher won. And so something happened on the day that he met, something changed on the day he met Pabongka Rinpoche. Pabongka Rinpoche's student was Trigyen Rinpoche, 02A. Jigme, it should be lining up. If you click name at the top of the... Yeah, there you go. This is Trigyen Rinpoche, who's one of the two tutors of the current Dalai Lama. He was a young incarnated Lama who went to these talks. I believe he would have been about 20 at the time of these talks, 20 to 22 years old. And they didn't have tape recorders. They didn't have electricity. And he was a human tape recorder. And he took down notes from these the teachings that Pabongka Rinpoche gave. And he spent a large part of his life organizing those notes into the text that we're studying. So it's because of the Dalai Lama's teacher, who is my teacher's root Lama, that we have this record of the teachings that were given in Lhasa in the 1920s. They were carved onto blocks in the lifetime of Pabongka Rinpoche, which was a big, which was very unusual in Tibet. Normally, you have to be dead for 300 years before they carve your stuff onto blocks. But people were so in awe of this particular teaching that it was like printed immediately, meaning they carved it in about 4 years into blocks, and it became a very popular text to teach. There's a nice, I think the next image, O2B, is, that's an image of Trigyen Rinpoche. He did escape to India in 1959. He spent the last 21 years of his life in India. And I just like his face, and his face makes me happy. And it just looks like a lot of love. This is after he lost his country. This is after he went from being like the second highest person in the country to a refugee. And I just think the joy that he kept and he retained in his lifetime is sort of a testament to the study that we're going to do. Okay. Then he taught this text to my teacher, which is the next slide. We're trying to do this video, this, what do you call it, audio-visual thing. So it's kind of shaky tonight, but we'll get better at it. I like this particular picture of him. There are lots of other pictures of him dressed in robes and stuff. He didn't like to be seen out of robes. He had to take a passport picture one day in Lakewood, New Jersey. I think this is about 1975, and I was his attendant for 25 years. And so I stole the picture from the passport company. I just like it. It's very much his energy. He was kind of stern and demanding. And, you know, and he taught this text. He thought this text was the most important thing for anyone who wanted to get enlightened. He thought this was the most important text. And he taught it continuously during the 30 years he was in this country. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start. We've reached the fifth day of the original teaching. I'm going to teach it the old way. When I'm on tour, I have to teach business people, bankers, all kinds of strange people. Communist Party members last time in Beijing. And I don't really get a chance to teach the traditional way. But I would like to teach this text in the traditional way. So you don't get 1,000 people coming, but you sort of get hardcore people coming. So maybe 3 or 4 times a year I would enjoy teaching the old way, which is sort of demanding and precise and more, I think, deeper. So we'll go through it like that. We are filming it for people who requested it in other countries. I think especially China, people have requested a record of the 14 years teaching in DVD. So we're trying to upgrade the quality of the filming, and maybe somebody will come and put your face in the film and you have to try to wake up and look intelligent. Because I thought it's just boring to have a, what do you call, talking head for 14 years. And so we're going to try to have more graphics. It's hard because this tradition is 2,500 years old, and there's not a lot of photos of people and events. There are just some carvings and stuff. But we'll try to make it as lively as possible, just for the filming. Okay. So here we go, fifth day. Ning, you ready, Ningbo? Where are you? Yeah. Ning ngapa pelden parpa ludu gisung le. So you can kind of follow the... Ningbo is going to follow the Tibetan with you. So this is the traditional Tibetan text. Tibetan has a lot of silent letters, like in the English word, I know what to do, I-K-N-O-W. So it would look like canal or something. So just be aware, Tibetan is like that. Then you can kind of follow it if you ignore the K's and stuff. All right, Ning Ngapar, on the fifth day. So this is a big deal. We're starting the fifth day of the original teaching. We're about 3 years into the text. We are starting on the fifth day of teaching, okay? And that's the way it's going to be. Okay, Ning Ngapar, Pandan Pakpa Ludu Kisungne. By the way, he taught maybe 10 to 12 hours a day without a microphone. To 3,000-4,000 people. So that's the old way. All right. We're not going to do that. Belden means glorious. Shrivat or Shrimant in Sanskrit. Parpa means Arya, someone who has seen emptiness directly. And Ludup means Nagarjuna. So Sungle means from his words or from his teachings. So I'm going to put up a picture of Nagarjuna. Ta-da! I like this one. There are lots of sort of wimpy modern ones that make him look like a wimp. I kind of like this one. The snakes on his head are Nagas. These are serpent beings. I think they're equivalent to dragons in Northern Hemisphere mythology, European mythology. Because these Nagas are said to like to collect shiny things and hoard precious gems and gold and sit on them, you know, much as dragons are said to have been. I think they're probably the same creature as dragons in the Northern Hemisphere. And so they would also collect shiny books and great books, classics. And they would take them to their lairs, and they would just sit on them for several centuries. So a lot of the books of Buddhism that got lost in this world over centuries, in the 7 centuries after the Buddha lived, lots of books had gotten lost. Copies were said to be in the lairs of Nagas underground. So this Buddhist saint undertook to go try to find them. In the same way that Scott and Orit and I went to the St. Petersburg Library last week and tried to recover the 140,000 books they're sitting on, Tibetan books. We did pretty well. I think it's going to work. So anyway, he gained mastery over the Nagas. Arjuna is the great warrior of the Bhagavad Gita who speaks to Krishna. And so they called him Naga Arjuna, the warrior who can control the Nagas. So in the picture you see Nagas. Sometimes when the weather was hot, he would command the Nagas to put their bodies over his head and spread out their hoods. So he would, it's like his umbrella, his sunshade. So that's the kind of mastery he had over the Nagas. So he's called Nagarjuna. So we have a quotation here. Pabongka Rinpoche, in starting his fifth day of teachings, each day when he starts a teaching, he will quote some classic scripture to sort of get the audience in the mood of what he's going to talk about. So here we have a quotation from Arya Nagarjuna. This particular quotation comes from a book called Shitting. Say Shitting. 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 In my own home, the people are the laziest of the 23 countries I go to. Anyway, in Sanskrit, it's Surleka. Say Surleka. It means a letter to a friend. Okay, and this is one of the great books of Nagarjuna. It's an epistle similar to the epistles of Paul. He was a great letter writer to great kings, and he would advise great kings. So Shitting is a famous book of poetry addressed to a king, and it's fantastic. Ken Rinpoche and one of his students translated one of the only commentaries on that, which is by Rendawa, who's a teacher of Jesam Kapa. Kaushik Serna Rinchen Tepa Yi Ngenkyuk Chapa Gipa Dewe Kyang Kangshik miru kene digbe le gipa deni che rab lumba lak. Kangshik means anybody. Ser nu means a golden vessel, a pot made of pure gold. Okay, ser nu. Rinchen tepa means studded with jewels. Okay, tepa yi. Ngen kyuk means, is the old word for kyukpa, and kyukpa means vomit. Okay. Kyukpa, Chakpar Gipa, who smears vomit in a golden vessel. So, you know, somebody gives you a bowl made of pure gold, and then you smear vomit in it. Okay, Gipa Dewe Kyang, that person would be called a fool, who kept vomit in a golden vessel. Okay, but Kashik Mirukene, but a person who was born as a human. And Digbe Le means who committed bad karma. Gipa means ancient word for committed. Deni Che Rab Lumba Lak would be even more of a fool. Okay, someone who took a golden vessel and smeared it with vomit is a fool. But someone who has gained this vessel, this temple, and uses it to do negative karma is even a greater fool. Okay, that's Nagarjuna. That's Arya Nagarjuna. I cut out the whole text for you, but I don't think that's too much. I think that would take us 20 years. He goes on to say, "Nadan gadan chiwe duchung na milu chusen gyokyang pemba me." And then when you come to the end of your life, you regret the way you spent your time because you wasted this vessel. Okay, and then he goes on like that. She lung chang de kun long chepar dor du shik sung. So the big words here are kun long chepa. Kun long chepa means he tried to put the fear of God into his audience so they would listen for the right reasons. Okay, you're going to get old, you're going to die, you have been blessed with the vessel of a human body, don't put shit in it, is what it says. You know, don't waste it, use it for something good. Du shik sum na kun long dang kun chu lek par sel tap ne. Try to think of having come here in order to serve the world. You have come to this teaching for these 10 days to make you better equipped to help the world. You know, and you can say that kind of thing, you know, I want to help the world or I want to save the world. But the people who are going on tour to many, many countries, I think we can see that it's possible to help the whole world. The internet is shrinking the world, and we are just constantly touring the world. I think for us, the borders of the world are dropping. And it is possible, if you study these things well, that you could literally be of service to the whole world. Okay? Kunje Lepa Seltap means imagine what you could be and who you could serve. Also, you don't have to go to Bulgaria to serve the world, okay? The best way to serve is to become an example. We were in Russia, they call it Zhivoy Primer. Zhivoy Primer means a living example, okay? If you study these things, you master yoga, you master meditation, you become, you understand how to alter reality. And you do it. And you're obviously a very happy person. One of the Bulgarians came up to me and said, all your people are smilish people. And I said, yes, we're from Smileland. You know, and they were all, we want to be smilish also. I said, okay, you can be smilish also. You know, and it means they were attracted to the people who came. We usually take 10 or 15 teachers with us. I think there were 10 or 12 teachers on this tour. And they are Zhivoy Primer. They are a living example of the teachings. And then people are attracted and people want to know what you're doing to make you smileish. Okay? And that's a good what do you call it? Advertisement. That's how you save the world. You become a smileish person. You join the smileish clan. And then people who see you, we're on airplanes and stewardesses come up to you and says, where are you guys from? What do you do? How can I join you? You know, it's like that. It's very strange. So I think the best way, what he's saying at this point in the text is, learn the text, practice the text, become a happy person that other people will be attracted to and will ask you, what the heck are you doing that makes you so happy? And then happiness will spread. Okay. Sembashu means I beg you to listen. And he uses the honorific for listen. Sen is only used by a lower person to a higher person. But Pabongkor Rinpoche is using it to us. Okay. Shu means to make a request from a very low person to a very high person. So he's flipping the tables around and he's saying, I beg you, your honorable self, would you deign to listen with that kind of vision in your mind that I would like to be a living example for the world. Okay? He's saying, please keep that in mind as you listen on this, the fifth day. Senbei chuni, senje chuni. So what are you supposed to listen to? What's the Dharma we're going to listen to? Then he went into the sapche. You got that Ningbo? Sapche. Sapche. Right? Yeah. You see it? The beginning of the second paragraph, 92b. Sok sache. Sok sache. So sache in Tibetan, those of you trying to learn Tibetan, which is Nick and Nick, there's a Tibetan word sache, which means an outline. And it's one of the only Tibetan words where you pronounce the B prefix letter. So it's pronounced sapche. Sapche. Okay. So sapche means to run down an outline of a teaching. All the subjects of a teaching. So kyandenki kebu means those people who have enough good karma. Okay. Sangye ki sar drepe, who need a path to go to enlightenment. All right? Dot, dot, dot. He doesn't finish the sentence because he's pulling it out of Lamrim, classic Lamrim texts. Okay? Sar drepe, sheso sache drepe, Sache Dembe Par. Then he went through the outline down to that section. Ngar Tar La means he, and he, it's a tradition in our lineage to review what you learned the day before or 3 months ago. Okay, so I mean, ideally in the teaching, the Lama should review some of the main subjects of the outline that came up to now, okay, in the teaching. Ngartar, we're going to do it, so don't worry. Shipa, now he's reached the fourth category of the whole teaching, of the great teaching on the Lamrim. Lamrim means, is the genre of this scripture. Lamrim means a idiot's guide to enlightenment, okay? It's enlightenment from A to Z. It's a simplified presentation of the entire 25 years of the Geshe course. The five great subjects are shrunk into the Lamrim teachings, okay? And they are complete. They are Buddhism from A to Z. There's nothing in Buddhism which is not included in this text, okay? Shipa, fourth category. How do we actually guide a disciple to enlightenment with the actual teaching? Dampanglo means the actual teaching. Loma means disciple. Jitartu Rimba means there will be two parts to the whole book about how do you guide a person to enlightenment. Okay? First, Dambo Shenyen Tenzel Ki Jorwala. Dambo Shenyen Tenzel, this is the first and the greatest teaching of all of Buddhism. Okay? Of all of Buddhism. Shenyen Tenzel. Say Shenyen Tenzel. Shenyen Tenzel. Shenyen means a spiritual guide. Your personal spiritual teacher. Whoever it may be. I'm your scripture teacher. I'm functioning as your scripture teacher. Then you have to find your heart teacher, right? And it could be your mom. Somebody told me it was their dog. I have no reason to doubt that. You have to find your own heart teacher. And then you need to know how to relate to them so that they can get you enlightened, okay? And that subject is the most important of all of Buddhism. And so that's the first subject that they teach in the Idiot's Guide to Buddhism, okay? So we've reached that section on Shenyen Tenzel. Ten means, it's a very delicate word. Ten means, it's related to another word, B-R-T-E-N. This one is what? How's it spelled? B-S-T-E-N. Pao sa-ta-ta-ta den but ten not ten. Pao sa-ta-ta-ta den but ten not ten. C-A-T cat. Okay? Bisten is different from Britten. You know Britten from Tendel, meaning dependent origination. So Britten means to depend. Bisten means to rely upon in the sense of being cured, like to rely upon medicine or to rely upon a physician. So bisten, B-S-T-E-N, is a very, very rare and special word meaning to take yourself to a high physician who can cure the illness of lifetimes. Okay? The mental illness of lifetimes. Is bisten. So shenian ten su means how do you do it? How do you take yourself to a spiritual guide who is going to heal countless lifetimes of mental illness? Okay, and that's the subject of the Lamrim. Okay, that's the first and greatest rimba of the Lamrim, the stages of the Lamrim. How do you relate to a spiritual teacher in the proper way so that they can enlighten you? Okay. Because half of it has to come from you, right? If you bestend them in the wrong way, you don't get healed, okay? If you don't relate to a physician in the correct way, it doesn't matter how good the physician is. If you don't follow their advice properly, you can't get healed, right? So the first section of the Lamrim is how do you follow their advice properly? How do you relate to your teacher, okay? Shenyen Tenzel. To relate to your teacher properly, first you have to visualize what it is to relate to your teacher properly. Then you relate to your teacher properly. So first you imagine, you try to get in your mind what it is to relate to a teacher properly. And then you go do it. Okay. So first you might do it in a meditation to imagine how to relate to your teacher. And then when you're ready, when you've meditated on it enough, then you would go out and go to their house and cook for them or whatever it's going to be. Okay? You would take yourself to them. Okay? But first you have to do it. First it's a meditation practice that you visualize how you're going to take yourself to your lama. Okay? And before you can do that meditation, you need to prepare the mind for meditation. Okay? So there's three steps in how to take yourself to your teacher. One, prepare yourself for a meditation on how to take yourself to your teacher. Number two, meditate on how to behave around your teacher. And then number three, what? Go to them and actually do it. Okay? But those are the traditional steps. Prepare for the meditation, do the meditation, and then actually go to their house or go to and be with them and learn from them. Okay? So we're on the preparation. We're on the preparation. It has six parts. Jor Chö Duk. Say Jor Chö Duk. These are the six famous preparations for a meditation session centering upon your teacher. Okay? You could also use the Jor Chö for other meditations, like on impermanence or on compassion or exchanging self and others. You see, you can use the same preparation. But you should know the classic preparation for meditation. Meditating without these six steps, I was having a lot of meetings up at my house during the Olympics. So I don't let people come to my house because I want to stay sane. So I have a little garden and a tiny little house. And when I have to meet people, I go to the sports bar down the hill. And there's 12 TVs. And it's a little distracting. But it's fun. Anyway, they were showing the Olympics, which I don't get to see because I don't have a TV for my whole life. But it was like captivating, you know. And I kept saying, when are they going to swim the race? And the announcer was like, now they are stretching their legs, you know. And then you're like, they make you wait for an hour and you watch them stretching and warming up. And then the actual swimming race only takes a minute or 2 minutes. You know, the whole lifetime of preparation is finished in 2 minutes in the pool at the Olympics, you know. But you can't swim in the Olympics without warming up for a couple hours before. So there's the same for meditation. You must warm up. You must go through the traditional warm-up. You can't sit down and meditate cold. You can't run a race cold. You got to know how to warm up. If you don't learn how to warm up, you will never be a good meditator. The six preparations help you to be a good meditator. But Geshe La, the name of this teaching this time was the seven doors of meditation. The seven doors of meditation are only one of the six. Okay? Is that all right? You okay with that? Okay, there will be six practices for preparing for a meditation. One of them involves seven parts. Okay? All right, then. By the way, the quotation that he alludes to, those of you who care about the Tibetan, where it says, Kyeldenki Kebo Sangye Kesar Drupa, comes from, you can find it in Dalam, and you can also find it in Marti. Marti, what is Marti? Red instruction, meaning when a surgical teacher in a college teaches their students, they dissect a body together and it bleeds all over the place or something. I guess it's fresh. And then that's called a marchi. That's called a I don't know, red, it's called a red instruction, okay? It means to take the guts out of a spiritual teaching and say, here's the inner guts of the whole thing. But it's kind of a weird name, okay? So there was a Marti written by the second Panchen Lama. We'll talk about that. But he's quoting that book, and he's going to do that a lot. He's quoting how many great Lamrim texts? 8. You had that already. There's a joke in the monastery. The older monk says to the younger monks reciting some... He's showing off how well he memorized some text. And the older monk will say, I forgot more texts than you will ever learn. You know? Okay. Tenso Jola Jowicho Dukle. So there are 6 preliminaries. Nyurlam Marti Kap. Nyurlam means a quick path. Marti means that red instruction. Kap. When we teach the steps to enlightenment using that particular Lamrim as our model, which was written by the second Panchen Lama, I think, let me check. Yeah, Losan Yeshe. I think we have a Losan Yeshe there, Jigme. That's His Holiness the second Panchen Lama. There was a book carved in Tibet just as Tibet fell, the year before Tibet fell, in the Dalai Lama's palace. A special edition of the 8,000 verses of the Perfection of Wisdom was carved. And in that edition, they put most of the lamas of our lineage. And I don't know how realistic the faces are. Some of them are suspiciously similar, the same. But that's about all we have. And I went and dug them out for you, okay? Jorcha Dukha Ngundu Chungwatar. So in the tradition of the second Panchen Lama's Lamrim, we will first go through all 6 preliminary to meditation. Tukha, Tuk means 6. Tukha means all six. Okay, Dukha Ngundu Chungwatar Shuna. Sum Kasang Shusin. Sum means 3 of the 6 preliminaries. Kasang means before, yesterday, in day 4. Shu sin. Sin means finished. I already did it. That's the past tense, if you care, of zin, which means to hold. Sin means I did it already. We already covered the first 3. So I'm going to take you through... what did she say? Let's go through the 6. Okay? You've had 3. You're learning 4 tonight and this week. First one was? Yeah, clean your room and set up an altar. Okay. Number 2, make offerings which have 2 qualities. They are arranged in a lovely manner and they are yo means to cheat somebody. Yo me means, which have been obtained properly. The money that was used to buy the offering, the orange or the flower that you put on your altar in the morning should have been purchased with money that you earned honestly, okay? And it should be pretty. It should be arranged in a pretty way. I made a joke. See this? Do you see this painting? Can you see it? I went around asking all my students, do you think this is like a Belgian painter, or do you think it's a French or Italian? So what do you think? This is an iPhone photo of my kitchen table. I have a big garden, which I grew just for the purpose of putting stuff on my altar, you know. But that's my first pomegranate, and I have like 12 kinds of roses, and it's very beautiful. You should do it. It's a very nice practice. You grow the flowers that you put on your altar, right? So that's the second. What's the third one? Yeah, sit down on your meditation cushion in the 7-point posture of Vairochana, and And with an exceptionally virtuous state of mind, go through practices such as taking refuge, which basically means thinking of ways to deal with your problems in your life. Okay? And that involves realizing that they come from you. All the irritating people you ever met are coming from you. To understand that and to deal with them properly in that, from that viewpoint, is taking refuge. Okay? Then bodhicitta is what? If I study this stuff, and if I learn how to have a proper daily practice, and how to relate to a heart teacher, then I will join the smileish clan. And people will admire me, and they'll ask me, you know, how did you get that way? And then I will help them. And that thinking, smileish people thinking, is bodhicitta. To seek to become a smilender. So that that you can change other people's lives is bodhicitta. Okay, so you think that over. You sit down with the 7 points of correct meditation posture, and you go into a smilender fantasy vision. Okay, number four is going to be called sokshing sandap. Say sokshing sandap. So number four is what we're starting tonight, and we'll probably take most of the week. Okay. A vision, going into a vision of the lamas of the entire lineage. Okay, going into a vision of the lamas of the entire lineage. And that vision is called a garden of karma. It's called a garden of karma. Okay, sokshing. And we'll explain why. Okay, but the subject for the next 10 days, next 10 classes, is sokshing. It's called the garden of karma. Okay. That's step number four. Step number five is the 7 doors to meditation, okay? Which we will probably get to in Guadalajara, I think. And then sixth is how to request blessings from holy beings, okay? And we'll talk about that. All right, those are the 6 preparations for the Olympics, okay? You don't try to meditate without doing those 6, because it won't work. Okay. Jetsun Kapa Chembe. Now he's quoting Jetsun Kapa. Do we have a Jetsun Kapa Jigme? I don't know. Maybe later. Okay. Jetsun Kapa Chembe. Nyena tsigmi sin samna dunmi go gomna gyula mi gewe lo tu shindu chumi tusu. Shingi tula temba menga yin sumatar. So now he's quoting Tsongkhapa, Jetsongkhapa. Okay. And Jetsongkhapa said, and I looked it up for you, okay, which I'm always going to do, because then I can go see what else he said in the same context, and we can take 20 years instead of 10. Or I like it. We have 13,000 text input by over the last 25 years by our teams in India, in the refugee camps. They are typing in the classics of Buddhism. They have finished 13,000 volumes of texts, which is about 1 million pages. And it can be searched in about 10 seconds. So we were trying to impress the Russians in St. Petersburg, who are the greatest Tibetologists in the world for the last 100 years. And we said, check this out, man. And give me any Tibetan quotation, and he gives it, and we go da-da-da, and it goes boop, and he's like, can I get that? And we gave it away. We gave it to him for free, 25 years of work for free, and they were really happy. Okay, anyway, so I went and got it for you. It's from the Lam Rim Chungwa, which is the shorter or the briefer presentation of Jetsun Kapa. What's the big one called? Lamrim Chemo. What's the medium one called? Lamrim Ding. Say Ding. Lamrim Ding. Ding means middle length. Lamrim Chembo means the greatest book ever written in Tibet. Just a great presentation on Lamrim. Lamrim Chumwa is his shorter one. Okay, and that's where this quotation is from. Okay, Nyena Tsigmi Sin means we listen to the words, but we don't grasp them. Okay, we're not able to hold the words. Samna dhammigo, we contemplate, but we don't get it. Gomna gilamike, and then we meditate, but those realizations are not born in our heart. Okay. Loi tu shindu chungwe, the spiritual power of our minds is small. We don't have much strength, spiritual strength in our minds. Chungwe dusu, at such a time, right? Tusu. Shingi tula ten, you must take yourself to the garden. Okay, take yourself to the garden. Mengak yin, that's my advice. Okay. If you find that you try to memorize but it's not coming, and you try to think about it but you don't get it, or you try to meditate about it but it doesn't become part of your being, then go to the garden. Okay? Go to the garden. That's the whole practice for these 10 days. It's called the garden. Okay? And we'll go through that. Here's the whole context. Okay, we're going off our book to another, the original book by Jetsun Kapa. Pena shingsa shimba shikla saban dep du su matapar dupa dende jok mi pupatar dichi dele tamche chungwe shingsa damba. If you have a beautiful field but you don't plant anything in it, if you don't plant seeds in it, there are fields, there are gardens in which you can plant the flowers of your own enlightenment. Okay, you must use the plow of faith in those fields. And this is all described in the sutras. Okay, this is the original by Jetsun Kapa. That's where he pulled that quotation from. So of course I went to go look for the sutra, which if you have it all on the computer, you can ask. You can say plowing the fields with faith, and then you'll find it eventually. I went and found the sutra, which he doesn't mention, but it's called Papa Trangsong Gyepe Shupa Shejawatepa Chembido, the Mahayana Sutra, which was requested by the Siddhi whose name was Gyepa. Okay? And this is a sutra that was requested by a non-Buddhist sage, by a Hindu sage. His name in Tibetan is Gyepa, which means broad or wide, like Sangye, right? Broad or wide. His Holiness's name is Gyatso, right? Wide lake, which means ocean, which in Mongolian is Tala, Dalai Lama. Okay? So anyway, Gyepa means wide. The Sanskrit for that is Vyasa. Okay? Vyasa. So I want to show you Vyasa. Ta-da! We're going to get used to this thing. This is Vyasa, okay? Veda Vyasa wrote many of the great classics of Hinduism, okay? He's credited even with some of the Vedas. And the Mahabharata, he wrote the Mahabharata. He wrote the Bhagavad Gita down, okay? Vyasa. There are something like 62 Vyasas. Vyasa is said to still be alive. He's of a special clan of people who live forever or something. So I wrote some of my Hindu friends, Shankar from the, what do you call it, Shivananda Center in the Bahamas, and the great teachers there. And then they asked their teachers in India, I said, did Vyasa ever study with the Buddha, or did Vyasa ever ask the Buddha a question, and was there ever an exchange between them? And they said, we don't remember. But to me, it's sort of interesting. It'd be interesting to follow up on it and to study it. But apparently, according to the Kangyur, there was an encounter between the author of the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, and the Vedas, and Lord Buddha. Okay, so that quotation about plowing the field of your lama with your faith, right? Came from a discussion between Lord Buddha and Vyasa. Okay, If you care, but nobody cares. Okay. When these words were spoken, all the divine goddesses surrounding them began to weep. They choked up, they couldn't speak, and they stretched out their hands toward the Buddha. Metotor, and they threw flowers toward the Buddha. And they yelled and they cried out, Kema, oh wonders. Dupa, this is so beautiful. He has come to the world, and with the plow of faith, he has plowed the field of goodness. Okay? That's the original from the sutra where Vyasa speaks to the Buddha. Okay? I think it'd be interesting to study that sutra in light of, and see if there's any clues from the Bhagavad Gita there or something like that. Okay? In your free time. All right. Ted Lemon used to say, in my copious free time, I'll do it. We'll go for another 10 minutes, okay? Like, I'm in no big hurry to go home. I'm sorry if you were. Okay. Rangre nam leke dipa tukpa nimbe tupa che kyan sikmasim. Then Pabongkor Bache is going to explain the quotation by Jetsun Kapa, which was based on the sutra. Okay? Rangre nam, people like us. Okay? And as I've said before, Pabongkor Bache is being kind. He refers to himself and us in the same words. People like us guys, which is like the Dalai Lama saying, people like you and me. Okay? Leke dipa. Leke dipa means karmic obscurations. Obscurations which come from our old karma. I think there's an obscuration there, Jiggy? I'm not sure. Pay attention now. Yeah. So I thought to mix in some modern pictures. Rebecca's helping me with these. We're going to look for some video also, just to make things more interesting. But it's like that. Your karma, that's a dipa, okay? Dipa means like a fog or a karmic block that doesn't allow you to see something clearly. Tukpo means very thick fog. Nimbe means we are oppressed by the thick fog of our karmic obstacles. And therefore, tipeche, we can go to a class and we can listen to the subject, but sikmisin, we're not able to grasp it totally. It can also mean we're not able to memorize it. Okay? Samkyang, we go home and we think about the teaching. Dunjishin migo, but we don't understand the point of it correctly. You were learning hako mendu. So in scripture, you cut the ha and you just say ko. So ko means, mi ko means you don't get it. Gom kyang, even though you gom, meditate, topa gyula mi ke, you don't get realizations happening in within you. Mi ke war utuk, say utuk, utuk. Utuk means, it's very colloquial, utuk means desperate, you are desperate. Okay, utuk pe kap tir. We are desperate. We go to class, we don't get it. We go home to think about it, we fall asleep. We meditate on it, nothing happens. Utuk, we are utuk. Okay, like we're like, what do you call it? Up the creek without a paddle, something like that. That's utuk. Utuk means that. Utuk means like you run out of gas and you go look for the gas can and you loaned it to your friend last week and then you're utuk. Okay, utuk. The difficulty of this particular text is that it was taught in a colloquial style to the population of Lhasa, not just monks. Okay, and he got in trouble for doing that. It was one of the few times that a high lama attempted to give a teaching to hundreds of common people. And so he used a lot of colloquialisms, which makes the text extremely difficult to teach or to read. You've got very ancient words mixed in with, hey dude, like you're up the creek, you get it, man? So okay, all right. Utu bekabdir shing kyabachen la suwa depshing. We have to beg. We have to go to the garden and beg for blessings. Shing means garden. We'll talk more about it. Okay. Depshing. Tsoksat dikchang. Say tsoksat dikchang. Tsoksat dikchang. Before you meditate, you have to tsoksat dipchang. This is two things you have to do. Tsoksak means you have to collect new good karma so that the meditation goes well. Dipchang means you have to get rid of your old bad karmas so the meditation goes well. Anytime you meditate, right before you meditate, you should tsoksak dipchang. You should do something to clean out your bad seeds and something to collect new seeds. I think people who go on the DCI tours, who like get on a plane and go 24 hours to Moscow to sit in front of some hostile people, the first night's always rough in Moscow. Okay, about most of the audience in Moscow is required to come by their company, so they're like, you know. So you crack them, like you work on them for 5 days. By the end, they're all crying and begging you to come back, right? And you collect really good karma. Then you come home. And for like, if you go to the movies, you see the best movie you ever saw in your life. If you read a book, it's like the best science fiction book you ever read, you know? You see your old friends and everyone. You go to Diamond Mountain and everyone's happy. This is because you took out jitjang by going on the tour. And it wears off about 2 weeks later, right? So anything important you're going to do, you got to do it right after you have some heavy good karma, like going on a tour. If you're going to meditate, you should collect some heavy good karma and then meditate really fast before it wears off. And the meditation will, I'm not kidding, the meditation will go really, really well. Okay, that's called soksak dipchang. Give me another 5 minutes, then we'll take a break. So dipchang chen na, if you do it, nyur du ne du droa yin, mama harta. Marma hata, say marma hata. It will strike, what do you call it? The mortal, literally it means to strike the mortal blow, okay? Marma means mortal in Sanskrit. Hata means to strike. The word gun comes from the same root. Mama hata means if you tsoksat dirjang and then you meditate, it will stab you in the heart. And your meditation will do something amazing. Okay? So we have to learn how to tsoksat dipchang just before we meditate. Right? Before you have a chance to get angry at whoever you're irritated at this week. All right. Deon jatsen jambe yangla tsongkhapa chenpu. So Jetsun Kapa, who founded our lineage and who was the teacher of the first Dalai Lama, he lived about 600 years ago. His own teacher was an angel, was a deity called Manjushri, Jampeyang. Okay. Topa nyordu gyulakyewe tapkangla begu shupar. He asked, Jetsun Kapa asked his hard teacher, who was a divine being, Manjushri, the god of wisdom, and he said to him, if I really want to get realizations fast, what's the best thing I can do? Okay, what should I be doing if I want realizations fast? Then Manjushri said to him, "Lama yidam yemedu che." Say, "Lama yidam yemedu che." You must see that your heart teacher is none less than the Buddha himself. All the Buddhas. In fact, superior to. Your own heart teacher is superior to all the enlightened beings in the universe. And you have to see that they are not inseparable. That they are inseparable. Yerme means inseparable. Okay. I think I have a... Don't yawn on me. Find me the... You know, we translated Jetsun Kapa's biography, And we did a book, we did an art book. And I'm pulling out sections of it which are mentioned in this text. So here's a scene. This is the scene where Jetsun Kapa asked the question. Okay, I thought you'd like to see the real scene. Okay, you can see Manjushri up in the, with the sword, and then you can see Jetsun Kapa down below, and he's asking Manjushri, you know, what's the best way to have a great meditation, to have great realizations? And this is an actual event that took place in Jetsun Kapa's life. It's recorded, and there's a photo of it in a tanka. Okay, Begoshipa, you must see that your teacher is a divine angel, and so on that, then you should ask them for blessings. Okay, ask them to help you. Soksap Dichang Labepa, work on collecting fresh good karma just before you meditate. Work on negating negative seeds just before you meditate. Bepa Dang Nyerlenki Gyu Miknam Kyongwa. So he's mentioning three main practices before meditation. And that's the whole point for this week. This whole week, we'll be talking about three main practices. Soksak, how to collect new good karma. Dipjang, how to cancel old bad karma. And then Sundap means ask your Lama for help. How to ask your Lama for help. And these are the three great practices of the fourth preliminary. Okay? And then he said, of course, you have to know the subjects of the Lam Rim. You must be able to meditate on the subjects. For example, the fact that you're going to die tonight. Okay? They don't say soon, they say tonight. Okay? You have to get good at believing that you're going to die tonight. And then you wouldn't waste your time. Okay? You would always be doing what was highest priority. If every morning you got up, you believed that you would die today, you wouldn't do stuff that wasted your time. Okay? That's an example. Okay? So those, knowing those meditations and practicing them is Nyerlenki Gyu. It means that is the stuff of which the realizations are made. But the Tunken, the factors that make it happen, are those three. Collect new good karma, wipe out old bad karma, and ask your Lama for help. They are the fertilizer and the water and the sunlight that makes the realizations come out of particular topics of the Lam Rim, such as, I'm going to die today. Okay? So you need the seed, which is thinking about how you're going to die today, for example. But you also need the fertilizer and the water and the sun, which is those three practices. Okay? Dilla means mix those three together. Bega, that's what you have to do. Who's talking? Manjushri is talking to Jetsun Kapa. Okay. Okay, I promised you a break. Should I pitch the? Yeah, there's a bake sale as usual. You get cholesterol producing, highly sugar content cookies in return for ridiculously high donations for the cookies, which allows us to send people to Sera Me, my monastery, in the Tibetan monastery. Nick just came back. He had a wonderful month, all expense paid trip, because Rebecca sells cookies all year. And we had four students go. Five? Two of them are still decided not to come home. I don't know what their plans are, but they just got stuck in the monastery. So, but they had a great time. Geshe Lothar said that was the best group we ever sent. And probably Nick was the best among all the group. But he was really happy. And that's how people get trained. So if you eat more cookies next fall, we will send maybe five more people. And they've collected almost $100,000 over the years to send people to study at Sera Me. And I think it's a wonderful thing. You get to eat as much as possible. and bring me some too. And then, oh, and the other thing is, there's a special sale. So I went down to Diamond Mountain this week for a couple of days, and each retreatant ends up baking something for me, which is impossible to eat all of them. So I brought them all to Rebecca and said, you sell them for extra money, and you put the retreatant's name on what they baked, you know? So you know, you can have cookies by Bliss, or there's a cake from Venerable Gelsey, and David Stump's extraordinary iced cookies are there, and I think there's like 10 retreatants, the stuff they bake themselves that I was supposed to eat, and there's no way I can eat all of it. So I brought it here in the hopes of turning them over and making some money out of it. So, but all that money will be used to send students to Saint Romain next year, okay? So that's like a special table. If you're like really in a generous mood tonight, you can buy $50 cookies instead of $20 cookies. Okay. I'll do tomorrow or something. Okay. All right. So have a good break. Well, let's come back in like 10 minutes. We'll ring a gong. When you hear the gong, rush back in and sit down super quietly and attentive. All right? Okay. See you in 10 minutes. Okay, we'll start again. I'm going to go half an hour late if you guys don't mind. If anyone has to go home, just get up and go, and I won't be offended, and that's all right. Here we go. Tsokso Dribjang Gyu Mimba Dang. This is an important word. Say Mimba. Mimba means to bring a thing to ripening. To bring a thing to ripening. Okay. I installed this carob tree in my backyard. It's too cold for them to grow where I live. The florist, what do you call it? The gardening guy told me I have to string Christmas lights on it all year. And then maybe it won't die. So I'm Mimba, okay? That's Mimba. Mimba means to bring the fruits to ripening, okay? The carob pods are being Mimba by the Christmas tree lights on the trunks all year. You Mimba. So if you don't ripen your heart, if you don't bring your heart to ripening by doing tsok-sok and dip-jang, right? Getting rid of old bad karma and collecting new good karma. If you fail to do that, and if you suwatapi jinlap shupa mepar, if you don't ask for blessing, if you don't ask your teacher for blessing, those three steps, okay? Which is going to be the theme for this week, pretty much. If you fail to do those three, mik nam kyongwa la tsung kul che. Say tsung kul che. The cool means not what it means in Berlin. Cool. Cool means you can pretend to practice the lamrim. Okay, tsun means make efforts. Cool means, you know, you can say you're practicing the lamrim. Okay, that always implies some negative thing coming, right? Cool always implies something negative coming. You can say you're practicing lamrim. You can say you are meditating on all the steps of the lamrim, but okay, there's the kyang. But tokpa kewa la shindu bu. You might get some realizations, but they will be shintu. What's shintu? Very bu. Bu means slow. Okay, bu means they will come very slow. Okay. Shing and Gyu Minna. Now he's going to say what happens if you do the opposite, okay? If you open your heart first before you meditate, okay? If you open your heart first before you meditate, how? Those three steps: get new good karma, cancel the old bad karma, and ask your teacher for help. If you ripen your heart, if you open your heart in this way, minna, katsek la mitopar means without any big difficulty, topa, you will get spiritual realizations. Kien nyurwa, they will come fast, okay? They will come fast. What's a typical spiritual realization that he's talking about? You will become smilish. Okay? Don't think you got to fly in the sky or something like that. Okay? You will be on an airplane or you'll walk down the street and you will smile at people. And that's a spiritual realization. Okay? Don't think it has to be like fly in the sky or something like that. Which is more pleasant than flying in the sky, actually. Kin Mimba means, so practicing the garden of karma, Sokshin, which we're going to talk about, practicing the garden of karma has a ripening effect in two directions, okay? It ripens your negativities and it ripens your positive qualities, okay? What's it mean to ripen the negativity? I was telling John and Carol, I was in, where were we? We were in Guadalajara. The first time we went and gave a program there, 30 people came. The second time, 1,000 people came. And it felt like if I said, let's have another Mexican Revolution, they would do it. And I was actually a little frightened. Like they were too excited, you know, and I was like, this could get out of control, you know, and I thought this is going to create some karmic backlash. I felt like something big negative thing is going to happen. And then we had some very negative events happen. But I felt like it was that the power of the good karma was so high that it triggered some negative, old negative karmas that all together, you know, in a big group of negative karmas where it got triggered. And I felt it happening that night. And then it happened within a week, you know, so I was like, wow. You know, so there are the practice of step four of the six preliminaries is meant to trigger your negative karmas and trigger your positive karmas. Get rid of the negative karmas quickly and build up positive karmas very much more strongly. So they compare it, there's a metaphor, okay? We're starting a metaphor here. Kyun Mimba. What does it mean to sort of trigger your negative qualities, your negative karmas? The idea of triggering a negative karma is that it's not allowed to ripen at its own pace. You trigger it early, and you get some sort of big negative thing, and then it's all over, and then things skyrocket. Okay, that's the theory behind the four powers. Also, okay, you cannot destroy a negative karmic seed. You can only make it go off early. And in a short, disastrous thing, and then things will go much bigger after that. That's in the Diamond Cutter Sutra. Diamond Cutter Sutra says that. So then he compares it to waiting for a blister or a pimple to, you know, like, I don't know about you, but I lived near here when I was a teenager, and I was going to school, and I spent much of my morning doing my pimples, you know. And there were fresh pimples and there were old pimples and there were ripe pimples in the middle. And like you don't squeeze a pimple too early. Like you have to wait a couple days. And then you squeeze it when it's... Okay. Somehow this guy reminds me of Haggerty. I'm sorry. But no, just the guy, you know. I don't know why. But because you look so young all the time. But anyway... You know, like, I don't know, I assume you also had a teenagehood. And, you know, you would work on your pimples in the morning before you went to school. And some are just, they hurt, but there's no pus yet. You leave those alone. And then there's ones where the pus has all, it's all ready, and then you pop them, right? And then there's ones that are old already, and there's nothing to pop. So the metaphor here, I didn't make it up, okay? Kin Mimba, Nak Mimba. Nak Mimba means the pus is ready to pop. Okay? Meaning you've got some negative karmas, you're undertaking some huge good karma, and there will be some sort of little karmic backlash, a short, very disastrous period in which many karmas ripen, and then you're done with them. Okay? This is my, I get to show off my, me and Nick have, come here. We were. Okay, so I was playing at the Philharmonic Hall Jazz in Bulgaria, at the National Philharmonic Hall, we played a jazz concert, and it was really cool. So I got it that way. You got it playing bass with Johnny O, but it seems to have happened at the same time. So we are waiting for the blood blister to pop. I mean, it didn't pop. Mine's just getting hard. I don't know about yours. So it's past the time of Nak Mimba, okay? Here's the Tibetan. Nak Mimba means, and then Dul means to pop it, okay? Nak Mimba Dul means to pop it when it's got the most juice, okay? Lawa means it's easy, okay? You gotta wait on a pimple till it's ready. How do you get the pimple of your bad karmas ready? You, Soksok, Dipjang, Sumdap. You do these three practices. Then your bad karmas are ready to pop, okay? On the positive side, Yunten Mimba means your good qualities are getting... Rebecca has prepared a video for you. Gunner did, sorry. So the idea is, in the text it says, Yunten Mimba, when your good qualities are ready to pop, Shintok means a fruit, like an apple or a pear or a plum is called Shintok. Mimba means when it's ripe. Rangshuki means of its own power, okay? Of its own power. The word shuk means Vega in Sanskrit. And it's the name of a deity, in a protector deity called Shukden, okay? Which is the bad guy protector deity, which we're not involved with in any way. But his name is Shukden. Shukden means who possesses power. Here, Rangshuk means when the fruit is ripe. Rangshuki Salatung means it will fall on the ground of its own accord, on its own power. Okay, when the fruit is ripe, it will fall. Okay, meaning, if you learn these pre-meditation practices, then when you do your meditation, stuff will happen because the energy is ripe. You ripen your soul by doing these practices. Okay, Salatung Shing Longchu Darunga means, and then you can bite it. Okay, then you can eat it. Okay, you know, I'm not going to go into it. What's long chupe ku? Long chupe ku. Yeah, ku. What's long chupa in Sanskrit? Huh? Sambhoga. Sambhoga kaya. Sambhoga kaya. The body of the Buddha in their paradise, the paradise body is called long chupe ku. But in colloquial, long chu means to enjoy a fruit or to eat a fruit like that. Okay, so here we see it here. Longchu Darunga means it's ready to eat. Okay, so if you learn to do the practice that we're going to teach this week, then your meditations, your soul will ripen quickly and stuff will happen. Okay, there will be some burning of bad karma off, and then the good karmas will multiply wildly, okay, like that. Jetsun Kapa Chimba Kyung, Jetsun Kapa, can you pull up Olka? Do you have an Olka picture? There you go. This is a place called Olka, okay? This is a modern picture of a place called Olka. Jetsun Kapa went there. He practiced in caves near Olka. This is the Olka Chulung. This is the Olka River. And he practiced near there, okay? At a certain point in his life. Rang Chakla Dampe Chir, just in order to give us an example, which implies what? He didn't need to. I mean, he's already enlightened. But Rang Chakla Dampa means, that's the Dampa in Kadampa. In order to instruct us, Chir Olka Chulung Du Chak, he went to Ulga Chulung, which is a certain place, and Chak, he did Chak, means what? Chak Cha. He did prostrations, okay? And Mandal. When it's a small N and a small D, you have to retroflex it. Retroflex means the tongue turns back, and the tip of the tongue goes to the top of the mouth, which makes you sound like an Indian. Okay, because they are retroflexing all their words. Okay, so try it. Put your tongue, touch the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth in the middle, and then try to talk. Okay, then that's how to pronounce mandala. It's not mandala or something. Okay, mandala, or Pandita, okay, Hatha Yoga. These are all retroflex, okay. Chaktan Mandalsok, he? Jatakapa went to Uga. He did Sakchang. He did what we're talking about. Sak means Soksak, collected new good karma. Jipchang, purified his old bad karmas. And he did it Lapoche. Lapoche. Lapoche means big wave in the ocean. But in Tibetan, it came to mean high, what do you call it? High efficiency, high productivity. A scythe is not considered Lapoche. A threshing machine that does a quarter mile at a time is called Lapoche. So it means, Tibetans say big wave, but it means highly productive. He did mandal offerings, and he did prostrations, Lapoche. Zepana, Pakpa Yamsenga Shel Sikte. Next, there's one of a painting. I think it's 93A5. Yeah, this scene is... I took the scene out of the tanka, okay? I cut the scene out of the tanka. This is a famous event in Jetson Kapa's life. He had a vision of five of the greatest teachers of emptiness in history. He talked to them. He met with them. He went into this long vision of five of the greatest teachers of emptiness. And because of that vision, it is said he saw emptiness directly. Okay, what triggered the vision was lots of ordinary little practices like mandal offerings or doing prostrations. Okay, Soksak Jipjang. He did Soksak Jipjang. Then he went into meditation. He had a vision of the five greatest lamas in history of emptiness, and then he saw emptiness directly. They say, okay. Pakpa yabse nga shel sikte de nangi sangye kyangi drapa buddha palite gyappe chinna chinki lape sik nang chur. One of the lamas that he saw was called Sangye Kyang. Sangye Kyang is a translation of a Sanskrit name. Sangye means Buddha. Kyang means protector or palita. Palita, okay? This is Buddha Palita. Okay, he wrote a famous... By the way, Pa, the root Pa, as a protector, came into English in the word pastor, meaning a protector of the flock. So Buddha Palita means the protector, Buddha protector. Okay, he wrote a famous book called Buddha Palita. Okay, for some reason, they call the book just his name. It's like Shakespeare writing a play called Shakespeare. All right? So there's a famous book, the most famous book by Buddha Palita is called Buddha Palita, okay? To avoid the translation in this particular Lam Rim, Pabongka Rinpoche has used his Tibetan name, Sangye Kyang. Rather than saying Buddha Palita wrote Buddha Palita, he's saying Sangye Kyang wrote Buddha Palita. Okay, got it? Buddha Palita. If you want to know the whole history, which you probably don't, but I don't care. Nagarjuna wrote the root verses on wisdom, right? He wrote a book called Wisdom. It's just called Wisdom. And then that was interpreted by Buddha Palita in a certain way, correctly. And then along came this guy named, what's his name? Sangye Kyang. Baba Viveka. And he criticized Buddha Palita and said he didn't get it right. And then a famous writer named Chandrakirti came along and criticized Baba Viveka for criticizing Buddha Palita, who interpreted Nagarjuna correctly, who explained the Buddha. Okay, got it? It doesn't matter. In the vision, which was triggered by Tsoksak Jipchang Jingilab, was triggered by the three practices we're going to learn this week. That's what triggered this vision of the five great lamas of emptiness. And in particular, Jetsongkhapa saw Buddha Palita Gyalpe. Gya here means Gyanak, the wide black country. China is called the wide black country in Tibetan. India is called Gyalkar, the wide white country. Because these were two vast countries on either side of Tibet, and people in India mostly wore white cotton, and people in China mostly wore black cotton. So Tibetans came to call China wide black, and they called India wide white. Okay? Here they just say wide, but you have to know, you have to read his biography. It was wide black. He saw the Chinese version of Buddha Palita. I don't know why, but I think it's significant for us. Jetsongkhapa had a vision of Chinese. Or maybe it was the Sanskrit. I'll check. Actually, I think it was the Sanskrit. He saw it in the sky. He saw it written across. It is the Sanskrit. I'm sorry. He saw it written across the sky. He saw the Sanskrit written across the sky. And Jingyi Lapa, he got blessed by that Siknang. Siknang means a vision, a mystical vision. Okay, Chungwar happened to him. Denyin Jalba Buddha Palita Sigdo Chungwar Shin. Then he came out of the vision. He said, "Dang, maybe I should read that book." Okay, like he saw Buddha Palita written across the sky. It's in Sanskrit. I remember now. It's in Sanskrit. And then he got this idea. Oh, maybe I should read that. Maybe it's a sign I should finally read that book. So he did. Sikpe, Rabje Chogepe Tedu, around the 18th chapter, okay? Meaning Buddha Palita's commentary on the 18th chapter of Nagarjuna, okay? Which relates to the two kinds of no-self, okay? People and things. Okay, people and things. Okay, Gyurwe Tawa. Tell Gyurwe Tawa Chima Meba Tope Tsulten. He pretended. Tsulten means he pretended. Okay, to get it. To get emptiness, he pretended to have. And in some, many people say that was the direct perception of emptiness. Okay, he pretended to go into the direct perception of emptiness. When he reached Buddha Palita's explanation of the 18th chapter of how many chapters in wisdom? 27, I think. I think it's 27. Nga Sik Sikpa Yingkyang. He had read that particular section over and over again in the past, the 18th chapter. He had read it many, many times. But, Kyang, Dire Tukyu Mimbe. But because his heart was open, because his heart was ripened, because his pimple was juicy, okay, got it? Deda tope tsultembayin. He pretended that he had a breakthrough. He pretended to have a breakthrough, okay? The point was, according to, you know, the highest vision of who Jetsongkhapa was, he was pretending to have his first direct perception of emptiness after doing these little offering things and requests. After doing what we're going to learn this week, his spirit was ripened far enough to have the direct perception of emptiness. So Pabong Krimpache is trying to sell us on step four. He's trying to say, look, step four is not some little dinky thing that you do with your fingers. You know, this is a very high practice. And Jetsongkhapa himself had a breakthrough because of it, okay? I seem to think I had some other... what else did we have there? We'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. We're going to go for another 10 or 15 minutes, okay? I'm sorry to keep you, but I don't get to do real scripture except four times a year, and I'm hungry for it. Okay. There are many examples of the same sort of event in the Namtar. Okay, Namtar means total freedom. Tarpa, you know, like moksha, right? There's a pretty printing press in England called Tharpa, right? They misspelled it, their name of their own printing press, Tharpa. Which makes you wonder about the books. But anyway, Namtar means biography, okay? So a hagiography, the biography of a saint in Tibetan, is called liberation. Okay, the word for the biography of a saint is called liberation. So you got to be careful when you hit that word. Namtar means the biography of a saint. Okay, Kongma means of the past. Dampa means holy beings of the past. So there are many accounts of the same thing happening to people, to great saints of the past. What? Of what? They did step four, and it triggered the perception of emptiness. People are always coming up to me and saying, how can I see emptiness directly? Half the retreatants ask me that every time I go. Then they would say, do your step four. Clean out your old bad karma, collect new good karma, ask your teacher for help. Okay. Shing rangre chugyu di rangre chugyu di je kelsang tenzin ki. So there was a lama in our own lineage, right? What is our own lineage? The lineage of Jetsun Kapa, called Gelugpa, okay? The way of virtue. Gelug means the way of virtue. I think I have a picture of Tenzin. Yeah, Kelsang Tenzin, 93A6, you guys. Hang on. He's the one on the right, okay? I think. Yeah. He's the one on the right. This is where they get generic and they all look the same. So anyway. Kelsang Tenzin. So there was a lama named Kelsang Tenzin. Nyingchik Dapo Prumbar. One day he was at a place called Dapo Prumbar. Chongchok La Pepa. Chongchok means, Chong means town. Chok means ritual. Town ritual means, I used to do them all the time in New Jersey, in the Mongolian community, and they would call the temple and they'd say, on Saturday, we'd like to invite all the monks over for lunch, and can you read the Diamond Cutter Sutra out loud for the family, right? So you all go there. I remember when I learned, this is how I learned the Diamond Cutter Sutra, because Mongolians like it to be recited at Chongchok. So we would go to the family's house. They would serve us Russian delicacies like borscht, piles of cabbage, gefilte fish, sour cream, other yummy stuff. And then we were expected to recite the Diamond Cutter Sutra. And then Rinpoche would divide it up between five of us. And at the same time, we would recite five different parts of the Diamond Cutter Sutra out loud. And it was like really weird. And I never got the whole thing, you know, because he wanted to get home. So anyway, that's a Chongchok. But that's how I learned the Diamond Cutter Sutra. Pepar, they went to Chongchok together to somebody's house, right? Jake Kelsang Kedrupla, I believe he's on the left. Can you go to the left? Oh, that's Kelsang Tenzin. Can you go to the right again? Yeah, Kedrup. Yeah, that's his teacher. Okay. So those are, I thought you'd like to see that they were carved together on the same page, meaning that they came after each other. La Pelok Yu Shikir Song Shikir Shok. So the teacher, who was Kelsang Tenzin, told his student, who was Kelsang Kedrup, he said, could you bring a book that we could recite at the family's house? Okay? Lokyu means one which we can read out loud. Kirshok means bring it. Okay? Sungbar, he said that Kadam Chetu Shik Puwe. Okay? So, there's a book called The Book Which Was Cherished by the Kadampas, and it's called Kadam Chetu. Du means a compendium. Che means cherished. Kadam means Kadampa. So these are the compendium of teachings which were cherished by the earliest Buddhists of Tibet. Okay, you are like the Kadampas of the West, the first generation. Okay, Puwei. So he offered that. He brought that book along to be recited. Denangi lojong yeongbe dorje luyang sigma tak. Then there was a lojong inside of that anthology of Kadampa texts. There was a lojong written by a lama named Gyergong. So I have a Gyergong picture for you. 93B1. Yeah. That's Gyergomba, okay? That's Gyergomba. He was one of the Kadampas. He wrote a book called Dorje Luyang, The Song of the Diamond. Okay, he wrote a book called The Song of the Diamond. When the Lama saw the book, he opened up the book, he saw the first page, Cham Chugi Sem Chumin Tugula Tum. He had a direct experience of bodhicitta in that instant. He opened up the book, he saw the first page of this Lojong. Lojong means a short text for opening your heart. Okay, Lojong. Like Lojong Tsigema is what? What's Lojong Tsigema? The 8 verses. Okay, Lojong. So this is another Lojong called The Diamond Song by Gyergong. The minute he saw the book, he had an experience of bodhicitta sitting there, probably eating borscht at some Mongolian family's house. Okay, but he looked at the book and he went into a vision of a perfect world of total love, right? Bodhicitta. Chinyin Jorchu Sumdep Kap. The next day, he got to the preliminary practice where you ask your lamas for help. Drokun Sewe Jejin Gewa Chen. You are the one who, out of love, takes after you every living being. He reached that line, okay? And where are we? She di zepapo tsen jupa na'ang. Even just hearing the name of the author of that text, Nang Chal Kok Chal Ling Ling Che Sung, he would get a mystical experience of heat here on his forehead. This is called Chal Kok, okay? And he would get some kind of throbbing heat at his forehead, just hearing the name of the saint, okay? Chal Kok. Denag Yu Mimba Na Ken Tamala Tene Topa. So if your heart has been opened by doing the 6 preliminary practices, then just looking at the cover of a book can trigger high realizations in you, okay? He's talking about a pimple which is ready to pop, okay? All right? Or an apple which is so ripe it has fallen on the ground, okay? Tamala Tene, we have 5 more minutes. Hang in there. If I don't fall asleep after all this jet lag, you can hang in there. But it's easier to talk than sit. I know that. So if you do these preliminary steps, you can have instantaneous realizations. Just sitting at some Mongolian's house eating lunch and looking at the cover of the book. Okay. Dulpe Shelme Kyang. So there was a lama named Kunkhen Dulpa Sherab Gyantsen. Say Kunkhen Dulpo Shirab Gyantsen. Okay. And he used to say, Charlotte Sok Sok Dan Dipa Jong. Just by the way, along with your other practices, if you can do some Sok Sok, collect good karma. If you can do some Dipa Jong, wipe out your old bad karma. And Fadan Lama La Suwan Dep. If you can ask your lamas and your angels for help. Shingru, if you can do that at the bottom of your heart. And Chene, Nendenke Samna. Then if you go into some kind of meditative state, okay, contemplation. Lo Gyar Yang Mike Nyamba Shik. There can be a realization which you expected to take you 100 years to reach, but Duche Sona Medupa. This is a difficult expression, okay? Those of you who are learning Tibetan, very, very, very rare and very difficult expression. Duche means, what's that mean, Duche? Duche Mitapa. Duce means anything which has been produced by causes. For example, a marriage. For example, your health. Okay? Those are things which have been produced by causes. A marriage or your health. Okay? A relationship or your health. Sona means original condition, and it's an extremely difficult word and rare word. Sona means the original condition. Sona. Mi de means they don't stay there. Health, a relationship, income, they don't stay there. Okay, why? You have a debit card. When you met your husband or your wife, you had a huge charge on your debit card. And every additional year that you stay with them is very expensive. And the debit card runs out. Sona midupa means nothing stays the same. That's the nature of the karmic seeds that are creating a relationship or which are creating your body's health. They will fall apart. The relationship will fall apart. The health will fall apart, inevitably. Sona midupa. It cannot stay the same because it's a product of other circumstances. Unless you renew the seeds, but that's another story. Okay, left by itself, all things will age. Okay, sona midupe, chishi tala kewayin. No obstacle can stay forever. If you apply these practices, it doesn't matter how obstinate your spirit is, things will change. Things cannot stay the same. He's talking about it in a positive way. Okay. None of your problems or none of your obstacles can stay the same. They must change. Especially if you do these practices. Okay. I got two more minutes. Tampa kome mengaki sungyun duang. You also see in the sayings of our great lamas of the past, sok sok mena lenme saban da. I think you have a lenme saban, jime. It's a seeds which are still dry, something like that. Maybe I didn't put it in there. I don't know. There you go. This is Rebecca chose. Okay. It's hard to find, right? A seed which has never been moistened. Okay, he says a seed which has never been moistened. If you don't go to the garden, then it's like you have all these seeds inside of you, but there's no water, okay? And you can keep those seeds for 10 years and nothing's going to happen. If a seed doesn't get wet, nothing will happen, okay? Lenme saban dra, she sumbatar. Sakchang nan sulbanpa de shindu gelchen. Therefore, it's very important for all of us to do these practices of collecting new good karma and cleaning out our old bad karma. Trasa chembo. I'll do one more sentence, okay? Trasa. Sa means a place. Lhasa means what? The place of the gods. Los Angeles. Okay. Lhasa literally means Los Angeles. Right? Trasa means a place where drabas live. What's a draba? Monk. It's the modern word for a monk. What's the old word? Gelong. Bhikshu. Right? The new word is, for the last 800 years, is traba. Traba means a fence or an enclosure. Traba means somebody who lives in a cloister. Cloistered person. Trasa means a cloister. Trasa chembor, in the great cloisters, which refers to three usually, Sera, Ganden, and Debu. Sometimes you can add Tashi Pumbo. Tsupa kona chepa min. We don't just tsupa. What's tsupa? Okay? Debating. Tsupa means, literally it means arguing. But in a drasa, it means debating. Okay? Kona means just debating. Min. Chepa min. What's that mean? We don't just debate, okay? Sokdang chudra soksu in the tsok, meaning in the big assemblies of monks, and chura means the debate ground. Okay, there it is spelled out. The colloquial is chura, the literary is chura. Soksu, shamdun mangdusung. Shamdun. What's shamdun? Svadhyaya in the Yoga Sutra. They mistranslated. Every person I've ever seen translate it mistranslated it. Svadhyaya. It's one of the. Yeah, yeah. The word is study yourself. So everybody translates it as studying yourself. But it means to recite scripture and to memorize and recite scripture, svadhyaya. It's one of the, what do they call those things? Yamas and niyamas. It's one of the niyamas, I think. And everybody mistranslates it. Svadhyaya just means to memorize books and recite them. Okay, katun is the non-honorific. Shamdun is the honorific. Again, Paboka Rinpoche is using high honorific to refer to people who are zillions of levels below him. He's saying, all of you honorable monks, when you go to the debate ground, when you go to the debate ground at Saramay, what's the first thing you do? You sit down and recite the Heart Sutra 21 times in a row. Okay? You go really fast, but you have to do it 21 times. Then you have to recite all the prayers of Dukar, a tantric deity. Then you sit there. The first hour and a half in the debate ground is reciting prayers. And it drives everybody crazy. And they go to the debate master and they say, why can't we just debate? Why do we have to sit here doing these prayers? Prabhupada Rinpoche here says, that's why we do the prayers. Okay? We want to, if you give me the right answer, you can go home. We want to get the pus, like, you know, we want to bring the pus out so we can pop it. Got it? We don't just go and start debating. You have to prepare your soul before you debate. You have to prepare your heart before you can meditate. By asking your Lama for help, mainly. Okay? By asking your Lama for help. You don't just go and sit down and run an Olympic race. You warm up. You get the thing all, what do you call it? You get it all set up right, and then you squeeze. She had another video, but I'm not showing it. That was disgusting. But I'm not going to tell you about it. Okay, so we'll stop there tonight. You have to make your soul ripe before you meditate. And that's what we're going to learn this week. How to bring your heart to a place of ripeness so that you can have realizations in meditation. Okay? Okay, let's do mandala. Mandala.
Shri Purki Chukshi Meheto Ramli Ramli Shri Nihinde Nyempani Sangye Yeah. Anche sento rinpoche, pake panam ke beauty, ke banyam baya baya, kone kondu pewa sho. In the land of snowy mountains,
the source of all happiness and joy, powerful chin
resistance and God's soul, please remain until samsara ends. Cool.